Amen. Romans chapter 11. Let's look there for a few minutes here this morning. The 11th chapter of Romans. The entire book of Romans, especially chapter 1 through 11, is the wonderful explanation. Paul, under the anointing of the Spirit, inspired of God, he gives this glorious plan of salvation. And when he gets to these last few verses of chapter 11, then he begins to, it's like he's climbing up a mountain. And he's ascending toward the peak of this mountain. And every chapter, it's a lesson in the grace of God. It's a message on our sinfulness, but God's grace to forgive us of our sins. It's like a progression as he's getting higher and higher and higher to that. Finally reaches the pinnacle where he can look back on all the wonderful plan of salvation. And he's standing at that pinnacle of all these wonderful truths of Romans chapter 1 through chapter 11. And the last verse is beginning with verse 33. It's almost as if the Apostle Paul is just shouting out this statement of praise and glory to God for the great message of salvation. Let me tell you, it's the most important, the most wonderful theme that you can ever hear is the fact that Jesus saves. And that you're a sinner, but because of the grace of God, you can put your faith in Him and be saved. There's no greater message in all of the world than the fact that a person can be truly born again. So when the Apostle Paul gets to verse 33 here, after he's listed all these wonderful themes related to salvation, then he says in verse 33, this is Romans 11, 33, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor, or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." You see, the supreme purpose of this wonderful message of salvation is that He would be glorified. Amen. Not only that the world would be saved, but that the name of the Lord would be glorified. And that's how the apostle closes out this first section of Romans as he's describing the theme of salvation in great detail. And then he says, it's more than we can fathom. Oh, how great is this wonderful message. How deep it is. How far reaching it is. Like the song that the choir sings. How deep, how great, how wide is His love for us. We can't even understand it. We can't comprehend it. No one can. The wonderful things of God and the wonderful plan of salvation. You may have thought that the verse that I'm going to mention right now is actually a Bible verse, but it's not. We've quoted it sometimes as mistakenly. Folks have misquoted it as a Bible verse. It's not necessarily a Bible verse, but it is very much a Bible theme. God moves in mysterious ways His wonders to perform. It's not in the Bible, but the theme is in the Bible. Actually, that verse is from an old Puritan hymn by a man by the name of William Cowper, who the English pronounced C-O-P-E-R as Cooper. But William Cowper, Cooper, whatever, however you want to pronounce his name today, was a poet. He was a writer of lots of poetry. And actually, if you study literature in high school or college, then you're going to read the poems of William Cowper. Many, many poems that are very well known and famous. But later in his middle years, he had a bout with discouragement and depression. He would have times when he would just get so low and he could not seem to come out of his despair. He even got so despairing one time that he determined that he was going to take his life. And so he called for a cab. Of course, it was a horse-drawn carriage to come to take him. And he gave the cab driver the fare and said, "Take me down to the Thames River." And he didn't know what his intentions were. The cab driver didn't. But suddenly, a great fog fell upon England. Not that that's uncharacteristic, but a great fog. It was so thick that the cab driver could never find the river. He roamed around for hours looking for the river, couldn't find it. And finally, he deposited William Cowper at his doorstep again, and he just got out and was surprised to see he was back home and that he was preserved. His times of discouragement and depression were so heavy, at one point he thought he was losing his mind. He was hospitalized, and it was during that time that he was actually put in an institution for over a year. But it was during that time that he began to cry out to God. He began to look to the Lord, and he came out of that very dark experience as a man that began to not only write poetry, but began to write hymns about the grace of God and about the salvation that he'd come to know Jesus Christ. He began to write hymns, and many of them that you probably have heard before, have heard some of the words to some of his hymns, that there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. That's a William Cowper hymn. But his last hymn, and he was actually an associate with the Wesley brothers in the latter part of his life and his ministry, writing some dozens and dozens of hymns. But the last of the hymns that he wrote before he died was the hymn that started out with, "God moves in a mysterious way, His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm." Lots more verses to that hymn that's called "God Moves in Mysterious Ways." Let me tell you, I believe it. God moves in ways far beyond our ability to understand or to comprehend. But you can be certain of this today, that God is a God who wants to reveal Himself to you. And even the mystery of the things of God, as far removed as they are from us, in some cases, we don't understand, we don't comprehend all of the wonderful themes of salvation, yet we know, as the apostle says in Romans chapter 11, he just describes it this way: "Oh, the depths of His riches, oh, the mighty message of salvation, the depths of His riches of wisdom and knowledge. How unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways are past finding out." Glory to God. Some of you that have been saved for a long time, you know more than I know about God and about the Bible. But let me tell you, it doesn't matter. The most scholarly person, the person that's walked with God for many, many, many years, he's just barely touching, just barely cracking the surface of the greatness of the riches and the depth of the knowledge of the things of God. And that's what the Apostle Paul was saying here. With all of this great message of salvation, and when you read Romans 1 through 11, you get this great doctrinal treatise on the message of salvation. It's pretty comprehensive. It's pretty thorough. But when he gets to the end of this, he has come to the understanding, I'm just barely touching the reality of the message. This knowledge of God is too great for me. It's far beyond my comprehension. That's what William Cowper was talking about when he said, "God moves in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform." God works in ways, secret ways, in ways that we don't know, ways that we cannot comprehend. But I'm so glad that as we walk with the Lord, there is this progressive, continual moving toward an understanding of the things of God. Amen. You know, when you put a child in school and you first begin to educate a child, they first learn letters and numbers just to be able to identify them. They don't realize the significance of that there two is more than one, or three is more than two. At first, they don't grasp that. They're just They're just being able to identify. That's a one, that's a two, that's a three, that's a four, that's a five. That's the first thing, identity. The same thing is true with letters of the alphabet. They're learning them and they write them. And some of you, I remember being in kindergarten, or the first grade rather for me, and I can remember all those sheets where you had to write again the big A and the little A. The big A and the little A. Now, I didn't realize that all of these letters of the alphabet that you could not only learn that they would create words, but they would create, they had meaning, and they had, each letter had different sounds and different uses. The same thing was true of the numbers we were just learning. That's how it is when you first come to know the Lord. You're just in the basic rudiments when you first get saved. You're just barely learning the things of Christ. But as you follow Jesus Christ, then there is this continual, progressive revelation of who He is. That doesn't mean beyond the Scripture. It just means that God, by His Spirit, enlightens your mind and your heart so that you understand you're growing. And the A's and the B's and the C's can eventually become words. They can eventually have meaning. They can be placed in sentences. They can become paragraphs. And before long, wonderful messages can be described and written because you have learned the basic rudiments. And you just grow and you grow and you grow. And now, as you get older, you can pick up a big, thick book and you can read it and you can comprehend wonderful truths. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Greg doesn't expect that the kindergartners are going to be mathematicians. They're just learning 1, 2, 3, 4. They don't understand even how to add it or subtract it yet. That's next. They learn to identify it. Then they have to. Then they learn its value. Then they learn how to begin to use it as far as addition and subtraction and multiplying and division and all these various processes whereby we understand numbers and mathematics but we gradually, by small little increments, we learn little by little bigger words. And we learn more about values. And as our education progresses, hopefully we'll come to the place that the deeper things and greater things. It's a great illustration of how it is to know the Lord, isn't it? What it means when you first become a Christian. Don't think that when you first come to the Lord that you're going to know everything about it. You're going to understand everything about it. Because for those of us that have been around it for 20, 30, 40 years, we're just about in the fourth grade when it comes to spiritual things. We're still learning some things. We're still progressing. We're still growing in the knowledge of the Lord because it's a mystery or it's a secret and it's being revealed to us day by day as we pursue the things of God. That was the thing that had Paul the Apostle so awestruck by the fact that the depth of the mystery of God, the depth of the knowledge of God, the depth of the wisdom of God, and how great that it is that we can learn Him and know Him in greater ways. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to serve the Lord. Because this life is a life of learning and gaining ground and progressing in the knowledge of the Lord. Amen. All the days of our life as we serve the Lord, as we spend time with Him in prayer, spend time in the Word of God, He continually reveals Himself to us by His Spirit. We're learning and we're growing in the knowledge of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, God's ways are mysterious. The word just means that they're a secret to us. Not revealed yet, but they're gradually being revealed to us. The Apostle Paul loved that word mystery. He used it in his writings of the epistles. He used it again and again and again and again. 20-some times he uses it, the word mystery, because he loved to describe the fact that there are certain things that are hidden from us but are gradually being revealed to us as we grow in the knowledge of the Lord. Amen. And I feel sorry for people who come to the place that they think, well, I've been around long enough and I know all I need to know. Oh, no. Oh, no. If you serve the Lord, some of you here 50 years, 60 years or longer, you're still learning, you're still growing in the knowledge of the Lord. You're still tapping into this divine resource of God's wisdom and knowledge. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Amen. So spiritual truths are spiritually understood, and they are spiritually revealed to us. It's by the Holy Ghost that we understand. You can't read the book like it's just any other, the Bible like it's any other book. You read the Bible because you know its spiritual effect. You understand that it was inspired of God, and holy men of old, they wrote as they were inspired of the Holy Ghost. So when you read it, you expect to hear from God. You expect God to speak to you. You expect to learn of God. In the volume of the book, learn of me. That's what he said. And so we learn of Christ, and we learn of the knowledge of God. And all the days of our life, by the Spirit of God, God is revealing the deeper things, the greater things, the hidden things. That's the wonderful thing about this walk with the Lord, is that we are gaining every day, every week, we are progressing in our understanding of the things of God. And then verse 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. That's the people, the secular world today, that makes fun of the Bible, makes fun of the church, makes fun of preachers of the gospel. They do so because they do not understand. They are a natural man. They are a carnal man. Their spirit has not been regenerated by the Holy Ghost. They have not been touched by the power of God. So to them, it doesn't make any sense. Since they'll read the Bible and say, oh, this contradicts that, and this doesn't make any sense, and this is not true. And they read it from a natural man's perspective, and they don't understand it or comprehend it. But the man that's born of the Spirit of God, his eyes are open. He has a spiritual sensitivity, a spiritual understanding whereby the truth comes alive to him. And you see the Word of God as a progressive revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He continually shows himself to us again and again and again. We learn of him, and we're gaining knowledge of the things of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, the depth, that word, the depth of the knowledge of the Lord. It's talking about the vastness of God, the vastness of who he is, that it's naturally, you know, something that you cannot comprehend. It's like the ocean. It's like the sky. It's like much of creation, that nothing goes unnoticed. Everything that's happening in our world, God is very much aware of it. And he is the one, the scripture says, that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Amen. Colossians 1 and 17, it says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Not only did he create it all, but he's the one that's holding it all together. It's by him that he's keeping it all together. And the world makes fun of God, makes fun of the thing, makes light of the truth of the Word of God. But little do they know that it's because of the mercy of God that they're even alive, but that he's holding it all together. And he knows everything about our lives and the details of our lives, and he cares about you. Oh, the dimension, the comprehension of the things of the Lord. Now, I don't understand. I'm not an astronomer, so I don't know. I just know that we on Earth are in a particular galaxy, and that it's so ginormous. That's not really a word, but it's kind of a good way to describe. It's just bigger than the universe, bigger than you can even comprehend it. But what astronomers say is that this is just one galaxy, and that there are out there numerous, uncountable galaxies, many of them much larger than the galaxy that we're in. And all of it was created by God. Amen. And for those of you who think that heaven is going to be boring, I'm fully convinced that all of creation that we have never seen, or we can't even comprehend, of galaxies beyond and worlds beyond that we don't know anything about, that for throughout eternity, exploration and great adventure and great learning, heavenly experience is going to be about understanding and a revelation, a continued revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. We just know in part. Right now, we're just looking through a keyhole. We're just looking through a dark glass. Our flesh couldn't stand it. if we could receive more of this revelation. God has just given us enough of the revelation of Himself so that we can be saved, so we can gain access and entrance into the kingdom of God. And we can be ready that whenever we leave this world, that we can move into a whole new world of revelation of who Jesus is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. It's an amazing and a wonderful thing. God moves in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. God is working in wonderful and mysterious ways. Hallelujah. All the greatness, all the riches, all the wealth of the knowledge of the Lord. We can't comprehend it, but we trust Him. And we know that God is in control. Not only do we have the universes, but we have the things just in our own world that are far beyond our ability to comprehend. Amen. Even the depths of the ocean, that they're constantly learning new things about the ocean. Just a couple of weeks ago, I saw where that they had found a whole new species that lives, you know, hundreds of miles in the depths of the ocean, where they thought that nothing could live, but it's living there, and God created and God put it there, and it's alive. Amen. There are just so many mysteries that are continually being revealed and will be revealed to us as we walk with the Lord and serve the Lord. And it's a wonderful, glorious thing to realize today. The Apostle Paul said, because of that, we should just give glory to God. We should give glory to God, because with all of His greatness and all the revelation of who He is and what He has created, in the midst of all of that, God is concerned about you. And He loves you. That's right. Little old you. Your little life of insignificance that you may think is, you know, I'm nobody. Nobody knows my problems. Nobody knows my needs. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Amen. Amen. But the fact of the matter is, oh yes, nothing goes unnoticed from the eyes of the Lord. He knows where you are. He knows your trouble. He knows what your address is. He knows your sorrows, your needs. He knows when you're sick in the middle of the night. He knows the fears that you face and all. He knows everything about you, every detail of your life, everything in creation, and everything in His crowning creation, which, of course, is mankind. And it was all a part of a grander scheme, a grander plan, that men might be saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So God is moving. God's moving in mysterious ways. And you may be facing something right now and you're wondering, Lord, I don't understand what all this is all about. Why am I going down this particular pathway? Why do I face this right now? Well, understand that God's plan is real and you're His child. And He cares about you, and God's at work. And oftentimes, not always, but many times, even in adversity and trouble, He's right there in the midst of that as well. And we don't understand. You know, Joseph, it wasn't until later in his life that he understood. There's no way he could have understood when his brothers, out of envy and jealousy, just tied him up and threw him in the bottom of a pit. And he's there, you know, rejected by his family and going through the sorrow and the grief of what he's going through. And then to make matters worse, they pull him up out of the bottom of that pit and sell him to a caravan and of Egyptians. And he's sold into slavery. I'll tell you, jealousy will do a lot to you. Envy will do a lot to you. And those brothers, but all of it, in spite of the hardship, the grief, can you imagine how you would feel being rejected by your family, being mistreated and abused by your family, being sold into slavery? But God's eye was on Joseph. He saw him in the pit. He saw him bound while he's there with that caravan of heathens going down to Egypt. And God positions him in Potiphar's house. He succeeds there, and God blesses him there, even in that situation. Then he's lied upon, and winds up in prison, suffering in prison. Don't tell me that Joseph didn't question, what's going on here, Lord? Why are all these things befalling me? Why am I facing all of these things? And some of you may be asking the question, I don't understand. Why? And what's going on? What about these circumstances in my life? Joseph is in prison. And even when he thinks he's having an opportunity, he's forgotten about again. 2 more years go by in prison. And finally, he's brought up out of that place. Now, he didn't understand the significance or the timing of what was happening, but God had a plan. Amen. He belonged to the Lord, and God had a plan. And you know the story, how that God used Joseph to preserve Egypt, but not only the Egyptians, but to preserve his own family. Amen. His own household. And he realized that, and I think it was probably as he got closer to the end of all that was happening to him that it began to come true to him. He began to realize it. There are some things in this life we will understand. We may come to a point in our life that we will understand some of the things that we experience and go through. But there's some things that we go through that we won't understand until we are in the presence of the Lord. And heaven is going to be a great revelation of the purpose of God and the plan of God. Genesis 50 and verse 20, Joseph fully understanding what's going on now. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. He saw it all coming together then. Amen. You know, we have to trust the Lord. If you're a Christian and you're experiencing some troubling, difficult times, I want to encourage you to know you're His child. God's at work. And it may be that one day you'll understand all the things, maybe even in this life. But you will one day, even if it's in eternity, you'll finally understand all the reasons why. You'll understand the plan of God. It'll be unveiled for you, the deep things of God. How great and vast and big is this wonderful plan of God that includes your life and my life. And we must not forget that God's in control. And God is at work in our lives. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul knew this from his own personal experience, who was a man used of God to spread the gospel all throughout the known world. God was using him, but now he finds himself a prisoner. He finds himself in shackles, bound, but he's not defeated or discouraged about it, because the Apostle Paul had served the Lord long enough that he saw the hand of God in it all. He could see the hand of God even in the shackles, even in his imprisonment, Philippians 1 and 12. But you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. He said, God put me here in this place. He's allowed me to be in this negative experience because He's opening up a door for me. And I'm going to be able to go into king's palaces, verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Amen. What a perspective that he had on his imprisonment. Amen. I'm in prison, but God's positioned me in a palace. God's positioned me to preach the gospel to all this household and beyond. He's put me here because they probably would never have the opportunity to hear the gospel. So my adverse, troubling circumstance, my bondage has turned into something for the glory of God and for the proclaiming of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, not only that, but all of my brethren that I encourage by my letters and all of those that are preaching the gospel, my experience has given them a new boldness, a new confidence. It's caused them to preach without fear because they see the hand of the Lord, that God has positioned me where I am at this time right now. And so all the brethren are being encouraged and strengthened in my circumstance. Hallelujah. God works in mysterious ways. Yes, He does. His wonders to perform. It just means that God, He has certain secret ways that He reveals Himself. Ways that are past finding out. Ways that we can't comprehend. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Amen. Don't waste your time saying, I don't understand this. I got to figure this out. Some people, by their very nature, as soon as they get a problem, then they feel like that it's their, they have got to figure out a way to resolve the problem. And they start working at it, trying to solve it and trying to fix the problem. And many times we make the matters worse by our own human effort because His ways are past finding out. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, we trust Him. We put our confidence in the Lord. We know that He does all things well. That He's on the throne and He's working in your life. And whatever He's doing through trouble and adversity and circumstance in your life, He's doing a work in you. He's doing a work in you through sorrow, through trouble, through grief, and through all the various experiences of your life. God's at work. God is at work both to do and to will of His good pleasure. God's accomplishing things in you, and it's a mystery. But oh, it's wonderful. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. God's ways are mysterious. They're past finding out, but oh, how wonderful that they are. It's significant that this was the last of the hymns of William Cowper when he wrote, God works in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. It was his life message because he'd come through so much difficulty and depression and discouragement. But it was in that time that he was institutionalized that he got to the bottom and he began to cry out to God. He turned to the Lord and began to turn to the Word of God and read the Bible. And out of that terrible experience, he came out of that thing with faith in Jesus Christ. Joined up with the Wesley brothers and was used, and they used his hymns, and he was a comrade with them, cooperative with them in the work of their ministry and even of revival. And God works in mysterious ways. He can take your lowest time, your most difficult time, and turn it into that point of your life of a turnaround and great victory. His ways are unsearchable. You can't figure out. You can't comprehend how He is working. You just know that He is. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. God's at work. He's at work today. Some of you, no doubt, experiencing things you don't understand. We've gone through some things like that in the last few years. Marcia and I have. Don't understand it. Don't understand. I could spend all my days saying, God, why is this happening? Why did that happen? Why are these circumstances? But I have to believe because I belong to the Lord. I have to believe that God, even through tough times, that God is working. And it's a mystery. It's a mystery. I don't know His secrets. It's too vast for me. It's unsearchable. I can't comprehend it. And I may never understand it even in this world and in this life. But one of these days, I'm going to learn the reasons why. I'm going to learn what God's trying to do in me, what He's trying to accomplish in me, what He's wanting to accomplish in my family, what He's wanting to accomplish in all of us here as far as this body. Hallelujah. And I don't know where you are. I don't know what your trouble is. For the most part, our greatest struggles we keep hidden deep in our heart. Don't talk much about it. It's just our own situation. It may be a secret from everybody, but it's not from the Lord. He knows your worries, your fears. He knows your needs. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes, it's a mystery. God's in charge. God's in control today. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we thank You. Oh, we thank You, Lord. Lord, that Your eyes are upon Your people. Your eyes are upon us here today. All that's going on in our individual lives, in our homes, our families, our personal needs. Lord, none of it is unnoticed by you. And I thank you, Lord, for that reminder today. It's amazing. It's mysterious, Lord, that you are working even in all of these things. Even in the trouble and the sorrow, even in adversities. Things that we can't understand, things that are beyond us. Lord, today, help us to put it in your hands. Help us, Lord, just to surrender to you and to place it in your hands. You know what you're doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we thank you for that. Lord, would you help those that are really in despair today, those that are really discouraged today. Would you send help from heaven, Lord, to those in this meeting, Lord, that have been in a struggle for such a long time, dealing with all kinds of needs. Oh, God, we thank you for the reminder from your word today that you're at work. Praise God. Hallelujah.